Welcome to the All 7 A's podcast. Dan and Trevor are normally answering your questions from the perspective of a couple of church members having conversation about spiritual matters, where the Bible gets to define truth and our minds and perspectives get to conform to that truth. Trevor, however, is not with us today. He has, let's just say family obligations. He got blindsided by some things that he needed to do, so he is off doing that, as he should. However, I am joined today by one High Right Reverend Pastor, Mr. Pastor Bradley Cox. How are you, Bradley?
I'm doing great. It's good to be with y'all again.
And I noticed that behind you there's some sort of a deer figure hanging. You're zoomed in.
Yeah.
So there's a deer back there, and when you lean back just right, you have antlers. There it is, right there. So
that's probably happened on many a Zoom call, and everybody was afraid to say anything.
I'm wondering if the height and width of the antlers reflect your wisdom.
If they do, that's pretty pathetic. For those that can't see, it's not a real deer head. It's just a little wooden.
Yeah, it's just a little wooden cutout silhouette kind of deal.
Maybe not quite 12 inches tall. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got a depth perception there kind of thing. So,
yeah.
But anyway, anything special going on in the life of Bradley right now?
Not really. I mean, I there's a lot going on, but,
that's very true.
Before we started recording, you said, you hoped I had something funny to say,
or just entertaining.
I'll tell something funny. Were you in the second service Sunday?
No, I was not.
Did you hear what happened?
No, I did not.
Oh my gosh. There's a video that Ethan's got of it, but so Trevor will appreciate this. I've been trying to do a whole lot better with my nutrition lately.
Okay.
Really since July. I've been doing really, really good. Eating five meals a day and watching, you know, the macros and trying to, you know, I'm not trying to lose a ton of weight. I'm just trying to take better care of myself.
Right.
But part of this little program I'm doing is, which any diet program worth its salt is going to tell you, you got to hydrate, right? You got to drink at least half your body weight in ounces. So I've been doing that, and I've been doing it on Sunday morning, which has a twofold benefit. One is my overall health. Two, you know, I've had vocal issues in the past, and so hydrating my vocal cords is a really good thing to do. Well, between services, I come back and have a snack, drink a bunch of water. I'm walking over to the main building. And as I'm walking in, I think to myself, I need to pee. But then I run into somebody or one or two somebodies, and I start talking and I forget about it. Then I walk into the sanctuary and I think to myself, worship's about to start. And I think to myself, I need to pee. And then worship starts and I just kind of get lost in worship and forget about it. And then I stand up to preach and I think to myself, I got to pee. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll be okay. I can just tough it out. And as soon as the sermon service is over, I'll just, you know, slip out the side door and take care of business. Well, right in the middle of the sermon, I concluded, I can't wait any longer. Like, I got to the point where I could not think straight. My eyes were floating. Mary's was sitting on the front row, and she said, I could tell you were moving awful weird. And so I literally stand. It wasn't streamed, but you can go on Vimeo and see it probably. I literally in the middle of the sermon said, guys, I'm sorry, but I got to go to the bathroom. And I stopped the service, walked out, went to the bathroom, came back in, picked it right back up.
Did you turn your mic off before you went to the bathroom?
Yes. Ethan, bless his heart. Ethan was back there at the soundboard, and he said, as soon as I did that, he looked at the lady that was running sound and said, mute him. Just in case. But, man, it was like, and Pastor Barr, which, you know,
is
Pastor Emeritus, and, you know, he still comes to church some.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's mid-70s probably, and, yeah. and he came up to me after the service, and he said, "Son, I've been doing this over 50 years, and I have never." And that's as far as we got before we both just started dying laughing.
That's great. That's awesome. I so wish I'd have... Wish I'd have been. That's great. That's great. And I did tell you about a dream my wife had about us.
Yes.
Right? And that was pretty good. So for our audience out there, whoever cares at this point.
Yeah, so we're gonna start having coleslaw with
community. That's right, apparently. You know, my wife had a dream that I had an office at the church, and there was some lady that worked there that was a friend of hers, and you brought her into my office for a witness because you were getting ready to fire her. Because she left the sugar out of the slaw for communion. And I think that's a great reason to fire somebody, I think.
Totally.
You know.
If you're going to have cold slaw for communion, you might as well have sugar in it. You
gotta have sugar in it. Oh, my goodness. Well, if you've got questions about any of that or other matters, you can send them in at askitall7days.com, 864-660-9473. Leave us a voicemail or text. Listen on all your favorite podcast apps. We are now on Amazon Music and Audible. I don't even know why. They just said, "Hey, if you want this, here's a link." So there we are. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
That's great.
Awesome stuff. All right. We got several questions we got to go rehash, and we will do that right after this quick break. This is the All 7 Days Podcast. Welcome back to the All 7 Days Podcast. Bradley and Stan here. Looking back at the last several weeks, we've got one question that we answered twice. So we'll take a look at Romans 13:1, where Michael has got to be, his head's got to be really huge by now, because this will be the third time now we've talked about his question. Why do Christians only use Romans 13:1 when it's convenient? So we talked about that one. We talked about how, you know, God sets up government. We should by default submit to that. However, if we have examples in the scripture that if we're asked to sin, we're not supposed to do that. And then Cody came and said, you know, what happens when the state goes outside the bounds that the Bible sets for it? And we talked a little bit through that as well. So let's hear the Pastor Bradley take on Romans 13:1 and following, and Acts 4, etc. And as some have stated it, the what is it, the doctrine of lesser magistrates and etc. Go.
Well,
here's the real subversive questions going on right now. Tell us what we're supposed to do about mandated, you know what's.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it out loud because we'll get canned.
Yeah. I think with the pandemic and vaccines, mandated vaccines, I'm not for that. I'm not for mandated vaccines. I do think that's an overreach. And I think when the government overreaches historically, it doesn't back off of that.
Yeah.
And so I think there's cause for serious concern.
Sorry.
When it comes to, you know, our American liberties and freedoms that we're used to. I mean, I think you mentioned on the podcast, not every person in every country even really has this debate. Whatever the state mandates, you know, they're sort of accustomed to just obeying, or lose your life kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I think the vaccines and perhaps other things that have been at least attempted to be legislated, I don't think necessarily have spiritual implications. In other words, if I'm mandated to take the vaccine in order to get on an airplane and I decide to do it,
yep,
I don't think that anything's been spiritually compromised there. Is that an overreach of the government? I think so.
Yep.
But I don't think that I am necessarily disobeying God if I take a vaccine because, I mean, you could get into maybe some questions about conscience and whatnot, but I don't think I'm, there's no biblical law that says I can't take a vaccine, whether it's mandated or not. You know, I don't think that that's, it's not the mark of the beast. It's not anywhere close to that. And I think God's in control of all of that. And I think if God calls me to go to Cancun, Mexico, on a mission trip, and I don't want to take a vaccine, but the government says I can't get on an airplane unless I take a vaccine, then God's going to either lead me through that to process that and actually take it, or he's going to provide me another way if he intends for me to get to Mexico.
Right.
I'm not going to get too up in arms about that from a Christian standpoint, from my confidence in God and in the kingdom and what he's called me to do. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not going to get too worried about that, because I don't see Paul getting too up in arms about what Rome is or is not mandating. But you mentioned the instance in Acts 4 and 5 when Peter and John heal the lame man.
Right.
I think this is really what it comes down to, is do we understand what submission means? Because submission doesn't always mean obedience.
Yeah.
In fact, the two are not the same thing.
Right.
When Peter and John are threatened, like you said, their response is, we're not going to stop preaching, but you get to decide what happens to us as a result of that.
Right.
You know, in effectively putting their hands out to be handcuffed, or turning their backs to be whipped, or putting their heads on the chopping block to have them cut off. Is that how it's going to go down? You get to decide that, because I think they really had a sense that God had put them in that position of authority.
Yep.
But they were not going to obey the mandate, but they were going to submit to the authority.
Yep.
I think understanding that, you know, having a posture of submission is the right thing to do. Right. I've even heard John MacArthur say, who we all know, well, if you're familiar with him at all, you know that he's been an ardent opposer of, you know, particularly the government in California overreaching.
Right.
You know, mandating churches not to meet and fining them if they do. And I think he even just won a lawsuit
in Los Angeles
County.
Yep.
But I heard him say, when asked if he would take the vaccine, is he said he wasn't going to, I think he said he wasn't going to take it just to take it, but if it was required to get on an airplane, then he might consider it.
Yep.
Because he's not getting too up in arms about that. And I think I would be in agreement with him on that.
Yeah, I think so too. Cody's part was, well, what happens when the government does step outside the bounds that the Bible places on them, right? So the government is there to reward good behavior, punish evil behavior, and whatever else they're supposed to do, protect us, right? In our case, we're used to them supposedly protecting our freedoms. That seems to be turned on its head right now. But what is the response of a Christian when the government goes outside the bounds of what God says they're supposed to do?
I think it depends on what area they're doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, you even talked about, you know, if they, you know, legislate taxes on us that are unreasonable, if they remove our representation, what are we to do? I think the call is to submit to that. When they violate God's moral law, or they mandate that we violate God's moral law, that's when posture of submission but not obedience is in order. But I think it gets nuanced, doesn't it? And it's hard for the church. But I think prayers for humility and wisdom are right prayers to pray in that regard. But I don't see in Scripture anywhere where God mandates a revolt.
Yeah.
Right? When God was ready to get the children of Israel out of Egypt, he did not send Moses there to take up arms.
Right.
He sent Moses there to show up in Pharaoh's court and say, let my people go.
Yeah.
And what did the people have to do? They had to sit tight until Pharaoh relented.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And God, you know, God calls Pharaoh his servant.
Yep.
So God was in complete control of that situation. And I think the people of Israel, you know, when they stand before the Red Sea, what does Moses say? Stand still.
Yep.
Let God, let's see the salvation of the Lord. And so I'm just inclined to not get, and I know, I think Cody has valid points. Lots of people have valid points on this. I'm just not inclined to get too up in arms about what the government's doing, even its overreach. I'm concerned about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to read all I can and vote. That's the one weapon I have as an American.
Yep. So true.
With all of this. But regardless of what happens, I certainly don't think that violence is the right response.
Yeah, agree.
And I don't think the church adopting a hostile posture is the right response either.
Yeah.
So, you know, call me, trying to ride the middle there if you want, but that's just how I feel about it right now.
Yeah.
So
I'm good with that. Mm. We can still be friends.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to Eddie's question. Eddie says, how can I genuinely live out the admonition found in Hebrews 3, 12 through 14? Of course, my big thing with that particular verses is connecting with others in small groups. This is the verses that say, and I'm going to butcher this trying to quote it, but, you know, take heed lest any of you fall into an unbelieving heart, I think it is, and but encourage each other every day as long as it's called today, kind of thing. Yep. And I think you know, while small groups seems to be sort of a new thing relative to the American church anyway. I think we can certainly look through scripture and see where people were meeting together every day, sharing meals, sharing possessions, encouraging each other. That's just where I went with it, that it seemed to provide all those things in what we now call small groups.
I think small groups is certainly a means for that. I said this about Romans when I taught through Romans, and I would say the same is true of Hebrews. Is the book of Hebrews is not a verse a day keeps the devil away kind of book. You've got to read it in large chunks.
Yep.
Because if you isolate certain statements in Hebrews, the feel that you're going to have is that I know Christians who read Hebrews and come away with a lot of insecurity in their salvation.
Mm.
You know, oh no, how do I avoid my heart getting hardened?
Yeah.
And by the deceitfulness of sin, you know, how can I be sure I'm going to hold to my original confidence firmly till the end?
Right.
How can I be sure of that? And even the episode on Hebrews 13, where you went from the exhortation about don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but in so doing, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. But you mentioned the next verse, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Be fearful, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversary. So that's kind of like, oh crap.
Yeah. It is,
right?
Yeah.
There's a sense and a feeling there, but you have to take Hebrews as a whole, because what I think the big point, there's a couple of big points in Hebrews. One is that the covenant we have now is better.
Yep.
But the point is also that the preservation of the saints, or our holding firm till the end, our you know, our confidence that we are not among those who shrink back, right?
Right.
Is that God is doing something to make sure that the saved stay saved.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, for example, Hebrews 3:12-14, don't see that while it is called today, take care lest there be in any of you an unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Right? That's scary, apart from you keep reading. So the thought that we read about in Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 14, that thought kind of comes to somewhat of a conclusion at the end of chapter 4, where he says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That's not an isolated verse either.
Right.
That's connected to this. Look, sin is deceptive. Sin will harden the heart. Sin will keep us from holding fast to our confession till the end.
Right.
You know, the goal of salvation is not to check the Jesus box and then just sort of whatever happens, happens until we die and we go to heaven. There is a holding fast, mm-hmm. a perseverance that God intends for us. And the great news of the gospel is that he has provided for our preservation. Namely, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was tempted like us, yet without sin. And the invitation there is to come boldly to his throne to obtain mercy and find grace. So the mercy and grace that's needed for us to not succumb to the deceptiveness of sin has already been provided.
Yep.
But then you might ask, well, why the warning then? Well, the warning is there because we need to feel the weight. We need to feel the sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Those warnings are actually a means of grace,
yeah.
I believe,
yeah, absolutely.
For our preservation,
yep.
right? It's like when Paul says in Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
For it is God who is at work in you.
Right. Yeah.
So there is this, I got to work it out, man. I must be battling sin. I must be fighting sin. I must be killing sin.
Yep.
My own life. And that if that was left entirely up to me, I would not hold fast to the end.
Yep. So true.
But mercy and grace has been provided for me.
Yep.
And I think the same kind of thing, we can talk about it with regard to the Hebrews 13 episode.
The Hebrews 13 or Hebrews 10?
I'm sorry, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10.
Okay.
Let's just maybe just segue right into that.
Yeah, let's go.
So this is so sweet. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So that's an amazing verse which speaks to what you're saying, is that small groups and relationships and people praying with us and reading scripture together, and whether that's in a large group Sunday morning setting or small groups in the middle of the week, doesn't matter, or Sunday school, or just meeting a friend for coffee,
mm-hmm.
that's the goal of those times, to encourage one another, not neglect that, but to stir one another up to love and good works. And that is part of God's provision for us to hold fast.
Yeah.
If you read to the end of the chapter, verse 39, after he says, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. So the gospel is not, I get a mercy stamp and then just go on sinning. The gospel is about total transformation. Yep. The gospel is about my conformity to the image of Christ. Well, how does that happen? Is that left up to my own willpower and self-discipline? No. Mm-hmm. One of the provisions God has made is our meeting together.
Yeah.
Our stirring one another up, our spurring one another on. And so the question we might ask is the writer of Hebrews confident that that will work? And I think the answer is in verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. He is 1,000% confident that the believers he's writing to will not shrink back, that they will not succumb to the deceptiveness of sin. They need the warnings.
Yep.
They need to heed the warnings. But what's on the other side of hearing and heeding the warnings? It's to give myself over to, it's to lean in wholly into the ways in which God has provided for my preservation.
Yep.
Namely, I have a high priest who gets it.
Yep.
And I can run to him.
Yep.
Namely, I've got Stan and Pam and Cody and Trevor and people in my life that I can gather with. And you spur me on. You stir me up. And that's not just you doing that. That's my Heavenly Father providing for my preservation, which is, it's amazing to think that God, we sing about it. People know this song, I'm sure. The song that, I just left me. The one that has the echo. Do we feel the world is broken?
With you? Yeah. Is He Worthy?
Is He Worthy? My favorite line in the song, does Jesus Christ, Messiah, hold forever those he loves?
Yeah.
He does.
He does.
Yes, he does. Yes, absolutely, he does. And that's not a license to sin.
Nope.
Here go the warnings.
Yep.
But the warnings are meant to point us, I think, to God's gracious provision in so many ways through the church, through the scripture, through prayer, through relationships, iron sharpening iron, gifted elders and spiritual leaders and teachers that are in our lives. All of those things are God's provisions to us to keep us saved.
Yeah.
He will keep us saved. Yeah. That's not in question.
Yeah.
He's provided the means for that.
I agree. So I do have one more question on the book of Hebrews. I've heard it said, you know, we don't know who wrote it. Right. So I usually say Bob wrote Hebrews, but I have heard the theory that Hebrews was actually a sermon written down that Paul took around to synagogues anytime he traveled and would preach this sermon to the Jews in the synagogues as his gospel presentation. To try to, and you know, as he was moving around planting churches or doing whatever he was doing, what do you think about that theory? Have you heard that before?
Mm-hmm. I think it's plausible. I tend to, and I would defer to people way more scholarly than me on this debate, but it's never going to be settled.
Right.
I think that's plausible, but I don't think so for a couple of reasons. If this was a sermon Paul preached, this is going to sound strange, but it's the book of Hebrews reads, it waxes way too eloquent for me for Paul.
too much punctuation for you?
Too much punctuation. It just does not sound like him.
It doesn't, you're right.
And Paul is a brilliant, brilliant man. Mm-hmm. Who's incredibly gifted spiritually. But, you know, we know for a fact he wasn't a gifted communicator.
Yeah.
In the sense that you would listen to him and just be in awe. You know,
right.
It's like it was said of George Whitefield that he could simply say the word Mesopotamia and make grown men cry. You know, there are people there are people on the planet that they just, when they talk, it's impressive.
Yeah.
And this, to me, like what we know about Apollos,
mm-hmm.
this sounds to me more like a sermon that Apollos may have preached.
Okay.
Because we do have indications that he was a very impressive communicator. Even though he had to be pulled aside
yeah.
by Aquila and Priscilla, mm-hmm. And you know, corrected on a few things, I think it could be a sermon that was written down that he preached. It could have been a collaboration between. Some have argued that that Priscilla was actually heavily involved in the writing of Hebrews, mm-hmm. maybe with Apollos, maybe with some input from Paul, even. But I tend to think not Paul, because I've spent so much time in Paul's letters.
Good
this
point.
This just does not sound like Paul. You know, yeah. Paul thinks very linearly. It's just it's this, then this, then this, then this, then this, then this.
Yeah.
The Hebrews to me reads more like James. James thinks in circles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, James will raise a issue, and then he'll kind of not go on a rabbit trail, but he'll build off of that, and then a chapter and a half later he'll circle all the way back to what he started with.
Yeah.
And Hebrews kind of reads that way to me. You know, case in point, the thought raised in chapter 3 isn't really concluded until the end of chapter 4, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know that. I guess that doesn't really answer the question. I don't think it was Paul, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
So I'm just riding down the middle of the road today.
You're so noncommittal.
I'm so noncommittal.
That's the antlers.
Yeah.
That's it. There they are. Mm-hmm. That's cool. All right. We will, we'll leave it there. Appreciate you joining and giving us your input on all of our ramblings.
Thanks for having me on.
We have another episode already recorded that you're really going to have to fix us on.
Okay.
So you'll just have to wait for it.
Okay.
It comes out after this one. So
I'll be on the edge of my seat.
Has to do with the Trinity.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's good. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. Remember, get your questions and comments. They are welcome at askitall7days.com, 864-660-9473. Let others know about the podcast. Give us a review on iTunes. And as always, this is the All 7 Days Podcast, where the goal is to make you think so highly of God that you forget about yourself. Now, go give someone what you value most today.